Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. You are in.
And happy Easter to everybody out there. Tonight, we are going to do a replay of Mark and Debbie Constantino's interview. Hope you enjoy and help and have a happy Easter from all of us here at Unknown Paranormal Radio and the Unknown Radio Network. Unknown Paranormal Radio will be back next Sunday with our very special guest, Brian Kano of Haunted Collector. So tune in next week, folks. Enjoy tonight's show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Road Productions.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Kevin, of Unknown Paranormal.
And I am Jeffrey Sterl, also of Unknown Paranormal. And for those keeping track, we only have about 2 months left in this world, folks.
That's funny.
October 21st, we got exactly 2 months.
Wow.
Which kind of works out because that's actually like the last day of our school before Christmas holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll save me from having to make a semester exam.
Mm.
Always got to look on the bright side of things.
Right.
Oh, well. You know what happened today?
What's that?
My Texans won.
Well, Cowboys won, too.
Yeah, my Texans won 43-13.
Yeah, well.
That's right. We put on them. We're 6-1. Yeah.
Whatever.
So I'm happy about that. Jets lost, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So what do we got that's new in Unknown Paranormal Land?
Not a whole lot. Mike and Didi will be at History, Haunts, and Legends November 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's going to speak. I more than likely won't be there. The Galveston trip, I don't know if that's going to happen. If not, you know, we're trying to figure all that out. So kind of some things on plan for November. We'll see what happens. As far as December, pretty much not doing any kind of investigation unless we get called for something. I'm going to probably do some sort of Christmas party gathering, whatnot. But other than that, pretty much winding down the year. I got to get some of the team together to evaluate the EVPs from Smackover and get that back to the Smackover because they contacted me the other day wondering where our
our progress has been on that, so I got to get that finished up for them. And that's pretty much it, pretty much pointing out next year. I know March will be at the Parunity event in Waxahachie, Texas, south of Dallas.
Cool.
You know, pretty much in the planning stages of different things. Got to sit down with the team and see what they want to do for next year. So, and figure out where we want to take our trip for next year. We're going to try to focus more on local stuff within like a two-hour radius, and not take so many long road trips. You know, we'll just save the one long road trip for our trip. But I'm even thinking our trip this year should be somewhere in Texas where we don't have to spend the majority of our weekend driving.
My house.
No.
Seriously, Gatesville is one of the most haunted towns I've ever seen.
How's that?
Well, I can't remember the name of this place exactly. Do you remember the episode of My Ghost Story that featured the Pride House from Jefferson?
Yeah.
That same episode also featured a location here in Gatesville. I've seen spirits, you know, all throughout this town, in my house, you know, all throughout the town. You know, Shelley Wade, her and her group investigated a location over here last night and broadcast it on Ustream. So you can come investigate my house.
Wow. No, you just want people at your house. That's what it is.
Well, no, I want to go to an investigation where, for a change, I don't have the longest drive.
Oh, cry me a river.
Ever since we started this group, it's almost always been the case, except for when we investigated in commerce. That one I literally got to walk to.
Oh, man. Wow. Even Shonda said, boo-hoo, Jeff.
Hey, you guys aren't the ones that have to drive 5 hours. You have to get home. All the other members of the team live within an hour of Kevin's house. I don't. I'm 5 hours away, or 4 hours, roughly.
Right.
And for those that know me, I don't like to drive. I hate driving.
You hate just about anything that you have to put some exertion into.
Well, no, it's because when I get behind the wheel of a car, I start to fall asleep. And that, of course, you know, anybody that will tell you if you're, you know, sleepy while you're driving, you increase your chances for an accident. And I don't like that. So I need to hire somebody that's just going to drive me to these places.
Sonda said you shouldn't have moved so far away.
Well, somebody there in East Texas should have hired me, but no, nobody wanted to hire me.
They know what's up with you.
Which is why they should have hired me. They know.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to have some special guests tonight. We're going to have Mark and Debbie Constantino on the show. That's going to be I've been looking forward to this one all week. You know?
Right.
Gives us an opportunity to pick their brains on EVP. Let me see. I'm going to pull up their bio. Go ahead and get that out of the way. I told them we'd call them at 8:10, so we're almost to that point.
And for those that are listening, Martin is actually going to call into the show later on. He's actually filming for a bit for Channel 11 News out of DFW area tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Mark and Debbie Constantino, over the past several years, they've been channeling most of their time and effort into receiving EVP on a constant basis. They also work with haunted items, dolls, antiques, almost any object has potential. Debbie has the gift of attracting spirits. She considers herself born with natural ability to see, feel, and hear spirit. She also feels vibrates on a level to glimpse into the natural realm. She was born and raised in a haunted house, and to date, all the places that they have resided in remain active and will probably stay active. Mark grew up with a strong belief in the afterlife, but never experienced anything until he met Debbie. They lecture at paranormal conferences around the country, sharing their thoughts and techniques on how to successfully record for EVP, along with examples of EVP they have recorded over the years. They also participate in live ghost hunts geared specifically to interact EVP sessions with the groups. Their media appearances include the television shows Dead Famous, Paranormal State, and Ghost Adventures. So that's our guest tonight.
Awesome.
Most of them from Ghost Adventures. They're real good friends with Zach, Nick, and Aaron. Let's go ahead and give them a call, Jeff.
All right. I'll dial the number up. When they answer, you can talk to them.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello. Hey, this is Kevin with Unknown Paranormal Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Did you get the EVPs okay?
Yes, ma'am. I sure did.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry, are we on air yet? Or?
Hey, I'm
on. Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. Now that you heard everything. So how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Awesome.
Good.
I know y'all been pretty busy here the last week.
Yeah, actually, we picked up a new puppy 2 days ago, so we're pretty busy with that right now, and just got back from Oregon. So, yeah.
How you doing, guys? I'm on the phone too.
All right. How are you doing, Mark?
Good. Good. Busy but good.
Busy is good.
Yeah.
Well, for everybody listening out there that don't know a lot about you, that have heard about you, can you two give us a little bit of y'all's background on how y'all got into this and how y'all met and that whole business?
Mark, you want to do that? Or
how? Well, hold on. Yeah, how we met.
And how we got into it.
Yeah. Debbie's always been into it ever since she was a little kid. She can follow up on that. But, you know, as far as me, when I first met Debbie, actually the story is I was working graveyard shift. And so, you know, when you work that for a little while, you know, after work, you know, kind of becomes your happy hour. So at 10 o'clock in the morning or 8, 9:30 or whatever, when we got off, instead of looking for eggs and sausage, you know, the guys that I worked with and me were looking to have a beer or something because it was our happy hour. And so we found a place that was open. I think they opened up at 10. So we'd go there in the morning and have a couple beers, throw some darts. And then one day we're in there just sitting at the bar, and then Debbie walks in. I didn't know her, but she came in for a job. She came in for a job as a bartender. So she was talking to the owner or the owner's son or something, and as soon as she left, you know, I turned to the owner or his son, and I said, you know, you need to hire her, right? And sure enough, she got hired. And
it was all his fault.
And that's kind of how we met. So that's kind of how we met.
Cool.
And then as far as how I got into it, I mean, I always believed, but once I met Debbie, it was like no matter what apartment we had, there was always strange stuff going on. And it wasn't until we moved out to Reno in 94.
95, I think.
Of course. 94, I think it was. Well, December 94, we drove out here. So, and then our first apartment, really negative stuff started happening.
But it was all kind of centered around me.
Right.
And there was nobody else really noticed it, but it was like the charge in the house was different. It was very, very heavy. And, you know, there was one point where I actually got touched. And, I mean, not like a brisk wind, or this was heavy, tangible fingertips that ran up the side of my temple. I'll let you finish one.
Well, yeah, Debbie got touched one day or one night, and she explained to me how she got touched, where she got touched. And, you know, I was like, okay, you know, because I couldn't really do anything because I wasn't experiencing any of it. And then, like, two nights later, we were sitting down watching a movie on our couch, and I got touched the exact same place in the exact same way as Debbie did. So at that point, I was like, yeah, at that point, I was like, all right, if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to plan on being with Debbie for the rest of my life, then I guess I really need to try to figure out what's going on here, because it's something that I couldn't explain away no matter how hard I tried.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason for us sleeping, like, on the couch and watching TV was because I was so afraid, you know, because I knew it was there. I could feel it there. I could feel the eyes boring on you, and you could feel it was negative. So I had everybody sleeping on the sofa bed, you know, because I couldn't go to sleep till like 5:30 when the sun came up, and I would have to be to work at 10. And it was just horrible. But, you know, when it touched him, it took him a day to tell me, but I was so, you know, I didn't know whether to be that happy or that afraid, but finally, you know, he knew I was, you know, I think he always knew I was telling the truth, but sometimes I think he thought it was in my head.
Right.
But it was like, you know, it was like the defining moment. So it was just, it was amazing.
Wow. Now, Debbie, you have some kind of ability that attracts spirits. When did all that, when did you start noticing that in your life?
Well, I got to say, probably I was an only child, and, you know, my house actually backed up to a cemetery. You know, not that I think cemeteries are so haunted, but this was actually, the town I was raised in was named after an Indian town, Totowa, New Jersey. And, you know, my dad would go in the backyard when I was little in the cemetery, find arrowheads. And I hope that, you know, it wasn't burial ground that I was buried on, but I know it was Indian ground. And I would see things since I can remember. You know, I would accidentally be walking through the house, and my dad would be at work. And, you know, I was pretty much a loner most of my life, and I would just walk through the house, and I would look up, and I would see somebody walking by me that could actually, like, would look at me like I was a ghost, because you're that close. And I think maybe they didn't know they were dead. But that happened several times. The cellar was one place you didn't want to be. I mean, there were just things. My dogs, we have three dogs, they would be at the top of the stairs. They'd be with their butts in the air in a circle, growling and snarling around something. And my mother witnessed this too, that, you know, we did not see, but the dogs definitely saw it. I mean, we'd have people running across the roof. I would see things in the kitchen that I never saw in any other house. It was,
right.
All I could describe it is little people. That's what they were. They were little people. They had, you know, headgear on. They had clothes. They had buttons. They had facial hair. And they were just kind of stare at me, and I would only see them in the doorways of the kitchen, and sometimes one in one doorway, sometimes two, one at each doorway, but it was only in the kitchen. But I mean, to be honest, ever since I can remember, you know, and it's really weird too, because, you know, I was born knowing they were real even before I saw them, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, it was just like an all-knowing thing.
Yeah, we have a guy in our group that his first experience with him was, he was 8 years old, and he saw a Civil War soldier walking down the hallway in his grandmother's house. And since then, you know, he's developed his abilities, and he can see, feel the whole nine yards. You know, so it seems like when he's with us, we seem to get a lot more EVPs than, because we were in a group. Yeah, we were in a group. Prior to this group that that I started, Unknown Paranormal, and we didn't have anybody with that kind of ability in that group. And, you know, we got some EVPs, but then we started this group, and he joined the group, and we went to one location, 216 EVPs out of this house. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, 56 of them were Class A. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we believe, too, that's why we always hold our recorder. And there's times where, you know, I feel, like, totally drained, and it's like I shouldn't be. It's with the first or second group of the night, and it's almost to where you're falling asleep. And, like, I'll open my eyes, and, like, you know, you have to – it's kind of like when you're driving, and you have to make sure you wake up because you're driving. And, you know, it's kind of almost like – then you start seeing stuff, like standing there and shadow people and whatever. And I firmly believe, you know, just as they drain your batteries, you are a battery. You're a – you know, you're human energy, and that's what they are. You are EMF, you know, so we always believe in holding our recorders. I think that helps.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and I've noticed doing this, I think I've been doing this now for about 3 years, and Jeff can attest to this. Now, when we get out of our vehicle to go into a location, we fire up our EVP recorders, and we get a lot of EVPs before we even start investigating, you know, because
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say these spirits, they sense you, you know, you're a new energy walking into the location, so naturally they're going to come check you out.
Yeah, and I mean, especially, too, if you go to a location that's been boarded up for like 40 years and, you know, not a lot of groups have been to, it's almost like, wait one second here, you know, like, who are you? This is our house, you know. But there's other times, too, to where the house is so saturated, like Waverly or these famous landmarks that are out there that are filled every night. And I think now they're getting to where, you know, as soon as you turn your recorder on, it's almost like putting a bow and arrow through the force field, like they know that frequency, you know, and they can tell. It's like, you know, I equate it to like throwing a rock in a pond full of geese. You know, once you turn it on, you throw that rock, and they either flutter or want to talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think, too, it's almost, too, like, you know, when you go to a medium, you know, they know you're getting a reading. The people on the other side that want to talk to you, they know that they're pushing other people out of the way. Well, what I have to say is more important. And they're all prepped for that reading, you know, even before you get there. You know, that's my opinion. So there's no time and space there, but your intent is here. And I think your intent, you know, fires through even before you get to the location. So you could be unloading your car and whatever, but they know you're coming.
Yeah. Yeah,
my
definitely.
Theory, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when we go to a location, you know, if we got something planned, the spirits of that location will actually visit our team member, Mike, 3 or 4 days prior to us going and appear to him and start talking to him, you know?
Oh, nice.
Kind of, yeah, that they do that, and it's, you know, just one of those things. So we kind of have some different, and he's the one that always goes in blind. I don't tell him anything of history of the place, and there's been several times that we've collected EVPs that backed up what he read, you know, his reading when he went into the place. So it always excites him when we can back it up with actual hard evidence on EVP.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's validation right there.
Yeah. Now, y'all do EVPs on a regular basis? Do you just, you know, fire up your EVP recorder on a regular basis to try to experiment with it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we went so far as to, we started off in our home, but went so far as to, you know, take it outside. We've had our house cleansed several times, and it feels way better in here now. But, I mean, I'll go out on the porch. I'll have a cigarette, you know, outside the boundaries I kind of set. And, yeah, that's the one thing. I love talking to them. It's like if I could do it 1 or 2 minutes a day, that's fine. But, you know, I've learned a lot in the past week, and I think I've learned to kind of shut down and ground and do all that in between recordings, and I think that really helps you kind of not drag it home with you too, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have an entity in my home that has followed us from the location where we got all the EVPs up in Arkansas. He's actually here in my house, and I've had not only Mike tell me on my group, but even people that mediums that have been on my show, I'll just have them give, you know, I won't tell them anything, and I'll say, will you read what's in my house? And they'll describe the same entity that he does, that some of my members have seen in my house. And he doesn't do anything. He just likes our energy. He was a practical joker when he was alive, and we kid around and you know, mess with each other all the time when we're over here. So he likes our energy, and he followed us home, you know, and we've had that several times where we've had to cleanse our homes because of more negative, malevolent type things that we run into. And I'm sure y'all have too.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing of it is, too, you know, as long as it's a ghost, I mean, that's fine. And, you know, I think they're going to be, if you're sensitive, they're going to be there whether you like it or not, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, you know, we've been to, you know, mental hospitals, all this, the children's wing, you know, in real sad situations. And there have been times when I said, you know what, and you can feel them. You can feel them in rows just coming up to you because they've got love and they never really be
right.
Stuck there. And,
right.
You know, I've said, you come home with me. And in doing so, not only did the house become really, really active in a negative way, but, you know, I thought about it. Am I putting these kids in jeopardy? Because, yeah, I'm trying to take them away from this mental institution, but who knows what I got stuck to me or lying in this house.
Exactly.
So I've been putting them in greater danger, you know.
And yourself as well.
Yeah, oh, totally. You know, not only that, your pets, too, your kids, anything you got in your house. Yeah, I think we learn the hard way, but I think we're, you know, learning more every day.
Whenever we're about to leave a location, we do a closing prayer. We do an opening prayer before we start the investigation. But when we leave, we make sure and give a closing prayer in which we request all spirits that are there to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Even the good. I can't say it has worked every single time, because there has been, you know, obviously with, you know, the one following Kevin home, that there's been times when, you know, a spirit just liked us and just said, hey, I'm going to just chill out with these guys for a while. We went to a location this summer, and when we all returned to our homes, a bunch had followed, you know, individual members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were at all. I don't know if y'all have been there. We've been to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and
no, I would love to go. I've heard great things about that place.
Yeah, we were there probably maybe 30 minutes. We had gotten there about 11 o'clock in the morning, and within about 30 minutes of being there, we were like bringing our equipment and stuff in, and we went by this nurse's station, and one of the doors decided to open and close by itself of one of the old patients. And then what was weird about it was, you know, because we were all scattered and we weren't in investigation mode. We were just getting there and getting settled in was Mike, our psychic on our team, a little bit later, he stopped. I was with him, and he stopped right by the nurse's station. He looked at that door where that room was, where that door opened. And he said, I just saw a spirit walk through that door. And I said, well, that's weird, because earlier that door opened and closed by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard wonderful things about that place. It's
a fun place.
Yeah, I can't wait to go there. That's definitely on our list. And, Mark and I are doing our own conferences now, and I think we'll be doing something at Pennhurst in, I want to say, the third week in April. It's not quite posted yet, but... Yeah, that's an amazing place, too. It's like Disneyland. You know, the place is so huge with, you know, all these buildings. It's, I don't know. It's how big do you think that place is, Mark?
It's a bunch of different buildings. It's like it's a bunch of different buildings at this point. They're all not accessible. But, we got to go in a few of them, and it was – have you guys ever been there? It's just outside of Philly.
I've heard about it, but I've never been there.
Yeah, it was crazy active. When we did one of our own events there, I want to say...
last year.
Was it last year or this year? early this year,
I think. Oh, I don't
know.
It doesn't matter, last year, this year.
And I mean, it was amazing, all the activity that was going on there.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, the guy that walked us through, he has such a passion for the place, too, that I think the dead kind of pick the person that runs it, and he was it, and, you know, they're saying his name, and it was just really incredible. And you felt so outnumbered because, as I said, a lot of these buildings weren't accessible to the public. And, you know, being new in there and not used to having people investigate, it is just, it's just wicked haunted. And
Now,
that's a little, out of our zone right now.
Yeah, it's kind of poor. have y'all been to, I'm sure y'all been to Waverly and Trans-Allegheny and some of these other big name places. What was more active for you? Which location did you get a lot more EVPs in?
Rolling Hills.
Yeah, Rolling Hills
in,
and I think Alcatraz.
Yeah,
we've gotten the most EVPs, like the most quality at one time per capita. Yeah, I would have to say that. Alcatraz, too, it's just the element of it and being there at night alone, you know, it's just, it's incredible.
That's where I'd like to go investigate.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, definitely one of my top three. Waverly, too, is amazing, but we've been there three different times, and every time it's different. And I think the last time was really the scariest time out of all of it. I think a lot of it, too, has to do with, at one year, Tina was renovating the windows, and I think that kind of quieted it a little bit rather than making it more active.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time we were there, which is after that, literally, I mean, we were seeing people down the hall, hearing disembodied voices, hearing people come out of rooms. You know, it was just really incredible. It was one of the scariest times I've ever been anywhere was Waverly, to where I actually started, you know, panicking. Where else? Trans-Allegheny, too, is amazing. It's we heard disembodied voices in there as well, and we were doing a live event with Ghost Adventures during Halloween, and we did a dress rehearsal. And literally, there is a lock on the door. There were robotic cams on the ceiling. And so, you know, it was a dress rehearsal, so they were upstairs doing their thing. We were leading ourselves out, and we're not really great with direction. So we get to the floor, I think the second floor, and you totally clearly hear a man come out of there saying, "People," like he wasn't used to having people in there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
This is not with a recorder. This is, like, with your ears. And we were like the Three Stooges, you know, scruffling down those stairs so fast, you know. And they were waving at the camera, like, unlock the door now, you know. It was crazy. But yeah, I will never forget that. I mean, that was crazy. And the building itself is, you know, they say castles, stone holds vibration, wood holds vibration, everything holds vibration. But I think the walls of Trans-Allegheny are like 3 feet deep, the brick. So it's really an amazing, intense building, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've always wondered, and Martin, our other co-host, he'll be calling in a little bit later. He's more of our he's part of Bravo Paranormal out of Dallas, and he's one of our friends, and he does a lot of experiments with ghost box and EVPs and whatnot. And me and him are working on an experiment to go into a location and blast in that location a low level frequency bass type sound wave and see if we can shake the place up, because I think there's more to sound wave than what a lot of the paranormal things out there really investigate. You know, they focus more on the EMF part of it, and I think there's more to it with sound wave, because
mm-hmm.
you know, all the planes, the folks when they renovate, you know, and they're causing noise and whatnot, and I don't know how many times that we've had EVPs where one of us is talking to somebody else on the team and a spirit chimes in. It's almost like they grab a hold of those sound waves we create and put their EVP. Yeah.
I agree. Like there was especially one time, too, we were at the Queen Mary and we were with Aaron Goodwin. And every, you know, Aaron's kind of like a really dull guy, but at one point he actually got everybody laughing. And but in the laughter, you could hear, like, we always get this witchy voice when we work with him. And you could hear everybody laughing, and it was almost like they picked a layer up out of that laughter, and they spit out this voice. And what was it? What was it, Mark? I'll be back again, or I'll be.
I think we were talking about, you know, why are you here or something like that, and then
to save your life again. That's what it was. They said to save your life again. And it was like, Aaron looked at us, we looked at him, and it's, you know, almost equating to past lives. And it was pretty much the same witchy voice, tangibility-wise, to me. You know how you can get, like, a flavor for the essence of the person, as in the Salem episode. And, you know, on a personal basis, we've worked with Aaron many times, and that same witchy voice comes through, but it was almost like out of the laughter. And now when you talk about sound waves, are you talking about kind of like white noise or kind of generating white noise before you go in there, or
more of a lower frequency that is harder for the human ear to hear, more of a frequency that you capture your EVPs on, more of where they're at on their level of frequency, and kind of vibrate the place. Because I've noticed in one location, it's right down the road, Hill House Manor. It's right down the road from a railroad track. And when that train goes across that track, it literally shakes that house. And it seems like after that train leaves, that house has more energy and more things start going on. So, I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, no, and you bring up a really good point, because this is on my to-do list, the Valeska house. But it's really odd, though, because, you know, just in investigating, you know, doing your little investigation at home on the history of the place, there's a train that runs the back of Valeska as well. And, you know, some say that, you know, the axe murderer or whatever maybe could have hopped on the train. But odd that you say it, too, because there's a train that runs the back of our house. And when I used to record at home, I would be in the bathroom, and I would use background noise, like kind of just subtle, like pulling the bathtub, the drain out of the tub. And just the sound of the water suctioning out of the tub would be enough for them, kind of clay for them to mold. And, you know, I'd be putting on my deodorant and whatever, and you'll hear the can hit the sink and just little moves. And they will suck that up and blow sentences out. There was one point to where they said they referenced the train a lot in there. And then it was also one day, it was really odd, we watched a movie. And the movie was, everything took place on this train. It was a foreign movie. So this was back in the day when we were like, sit down, you know, here's some food, just sit down and watch a movie with us. And we're like, did you like the movie? What did you think of the movie? And they said the train. So, I mean, even though it was a foreign film, the whole movie took place on a train.
Well, yeah, and that's what we asked. We asked them, do they know where the movie took place, what location, and they said the train. So.
Yeah, but I mean, they were watching it with us. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was, it gets a little dangerous, though, because you don't know if they're really ghosts or they're playing like they're ghosts or, hey, you let me in your house. And, you know, we've learned the hard way. You really don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and a lot of, I try to tell that to the teens that are just starting or they may be in it for the wrong reasons, because they see all the shows on television and they're like, oh, I want to do this, you know. But, what we tell them, I said, when you're communicating, you're putting yourself at risk, you're putting everybody else at risk, because there are a lot of evil spirits out there that know everything that the spirit knows, you know, that you're talking to. They know everything about those entities, those people that were once on this earth, and they'll mimic them. They'll pretend to be this person you're talking to, and the more you talk to them, it's more of an invitation for them to come in and attack you.
Absolutely. I think that's probably true, too, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I cut you off twice. I'm sorry. No, I forgot. I was thinking about the Queen Mary. That's like a great example. Everybody goes there expecting to see Jackie, the little girl in the pool area. And, Dave Schrader has this great joke. It's like, okay, who wants to be Jackie now? These fools are back here again. Okay, I'll be Jackie this time, And it's, you really don't know who you're talking to, but everybody goes there with the intent to talk to sweet child Jackie. And, great example. You really don't know if it's Jackie, and you don't know if it's a child.
Right. And I know that you guys being over on the west coast, the west side of the United States over there, y'all been to the Goldsmith and all those wonderful places over there in Nevada.
Yeah, the Goldfield, and then there's quite a few places here in Reno, too. we're starting to do our local events here too. We just did the Wilbur May Museum, which is really crazy. It's, you know, you talk about the haunted collector and the artifacts. This entire museum, this guy just collected animal heads, animal skins, shrunken heads. I mean, you name it, it's in this museum. I mean, artifacts from mass from Africa. I mean, everything.
Well, he actually killed the animals. He was born into a lot of money.
You don't know that he killed them. You just know that the animal heads are there.
No, he took 40 trips around the world.
Well, now all of a sudden, Mark's been there for one day, and now he knows Wilbur personally.
He went hunting. He was an avid hunter. All right, whatever. He was an avid hunter, and everything that's in there, as far as I understand, Well, he owned because he killed them.
Well, I mean, but you're talking about he's got rhinoceros heads in there.
Right.
It's really disgusting to me, anyway. Giraffe heads. I mean, this whole room is filled with so much death, and I'm anti-hunting, so it was very difficult for me to stand there. But, I mean, you'll have, like, elephant planters out of an elephant's foot and a zebra lamp with literally the foot and hoof of a zebra, and you pull the string and turn the lamp on. It, to me, it was really grotesque, that room. But, you know, a lot of these were endangered species for God knows how long. So, Well, my thing is, you don't know if he bought them or killed them, and it's not a big deal regardless if they were there. But I was just making sure he didn't know Wilbur on a personal basis. I was checking there, just making sure. You got to slap him around a little bit. Sometimes he gets out of control.
That's what I got to do with Kevin sometimes. He just likes to...
I'm sorry.
I'm glad that you cut Kevin off twice while ago. Don't apologize for that.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know who I'm cutting off. Sometimes I just keep going.
She cuts everybody
off.
Yeah,
you just got to stop me sometimes.
Now, if you were cutting me off, then that would just be rude.
Well, there you go. Well, I can't tell the difference, so I'll just have to be careful.
When you're conducting your EVP sessions, do you all use trigger objects?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've used, candy on the Queen Mary. We used the little wax bottles from back in the day with the liquid inside. I don't know. To me, it was like I'll look for stuff at the airport like, oh, they would recognize this from, you know, years ago. And we put them on top of the REM pod, which Gary Galka created. It's been on a ton of shows, but... the lights will kind of go off. But we've had amazing results with that lately. And I think it's like any other piece of equipment. The more you use it, the more the results. But the REM pod I like because if you put the object on the pod, if the spirit wants it, they have to go near the pod to get it. So it has to go off. And I've seen some really, just at Gettysburg, I think a couple years ago, we've seen some really good examples of, like stuffed animals that, you know, have an activation sensor in them, so a little kid will go to approach the teddy bear and it goes off, you know.
Yeah. Martin has developed it's a small, electronic EM pump, just real small, that he can insert into just about any kind of trigger object where it's almost an EM pump. So
now,
if they go,
do you find you have more success with EM pumps or less?
In my opinion, we've had, it just depends on the location. Some places more than others, I tried out a new piece of equipment because me and him kind of try to develop stuff as much as we can. So, because I'd rather make the stuff and try new things than spend hundreds of dollars on eBay or one of these other shops that you can get online.
Well, if you're creative, I think that's awesome because that's the only way we learn is to continue to create and have them figure it out.
Right.
Yeah. I started, Martin created this ion generator, which it creates positive ions just like it would if you were in the middle of a lightning storm. And it ionizes the air, and I plugged it in at a location that we were at recently, and we were getting crazy intelligent responses on our K2 meters. And this generator does not put out an EMF, so it wasn't that. And we were way on the other side of the room. So I make sure that it wasn't affecting our K2 meters, but we were getting way intelligent. You know, they were answering mm-hmm. question after question, yes and no, lighting it up, and they were lighting it all the way up to red. And so we were, you know, getting a lot of activity. So I want to use it more just to try to collect more data if it actually is helping our investigations or not.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. But you know what's interesting? The reason why I asked about the AM pumps is that we worked in Gettysburg, and there was a guy there, and he had one. And he said, well, you know, why don't we put it in the rooms we're not in and kind of force the spirits all in the room we're in? So he did that, and it seemed to have worked. But then we got a woman that came on and said, it's making me sick. And then the reason why I questioned it was the first time, we did the live event at Trans-Allegheny, and nobody really knew anyone else. And I don't want, you know, who is that guy, Mark, with the – who threw the remote, was his name? He had that Tesla coil thing that looked like a big telephone booth. Right, but even though the guy, I think, is, you know, full of crap, to be honest with you, and, you know, I don't think anybody met anybody before that live event, but, you know, the Tesla coil, I think, worked. I mean, we could feel a different vibration. I could almost taste it in the air between breaks. Then we go into a different room. I think it was on a commercial break, or it was the day before, I forget. But, you know, he revved it up. Literally, there were lights on the ceiling at Trans-Allegheny that literally fell down. They had been up for, like, 70 years. So whether it be coincidence or not, I did feel stuff. And you could kind of see, like, this haze, you know, if you're, I guess, sensitive. I don't know if everybody saw it, but I know I saw it. Then we went to a different room, and we said, you know, how does that Tesla coil affect you? And we got a guy, plain as day, saying, it burns.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just curious because even with the pod, you know, I'll say, listen, and I'll show them how it goes off, and I'll go near it. And I said, I really don't think it hurts you, but I don't know, you know, because, you know, God knows, maybe it does hurt them or, you know, whatever. But I always tell them, you know, if you're not sure, just get somebody else experienced to try it, see how it works for them. Even with the laser grid, I don't know if they're afraid of it or not used to it, but we've gotten responses to where, yeah, they kind of questioned it, and I don't really know, so I don't remember the responses, but it was they were a little bit leery of the laser grid, too. Not to say
now,
it doesn't work.
Have you guys ever gotten an EVP where the spirit is making a comment about the IR cameras?
Well, we get shut the lights a lot, and so I don't know if that's in regard to the light from the camera or whatever. We've just gotten into the mode to where you get better stuff when it's totally black. So automatically when we investigate, we're all like, you know, shut your flashlights, shut your, you know, your, what do you call that, LCD screens, and, you know, just try to make it as black as possible. So
well,
I think we've gotten that over the years.
We got one that really had us scratching our head, and it was actually two spirits talking to each other, and it was during our setup. And we're setting the DVR cameras up, and one spirit goes, where's the camera? And the other spirit said, over there. And then the first spirit said, okay, I'm gone. So they were talking about using the camera. And I was like, are you serious? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we've had stuff like that at Waverly, too, the second year. And it was almost like they knew we were going in there to get EVP. And they did everything they could do not to talk. And we were there with a charity auction, and it was like five other people and Mark and I. And we were, where were we? By the, I think one of the nurses' stations in the main lobby. And you heard a disembodied voice. Then you hear me on the recorder, and then I say, did you hear that? And then you hear them say, she talked. And it was, in other words, wow. And then one of the guys in the group, Pete, he goes, wow, I wonder what they're going to do to her. You know, because it was obvious she talked in the air. We all heard her. We responded to it. And it was almost like they were reprimanding her.
Yeah, I think that was – I think they called it the stenographer's office or something. Something like that. It was – it's one of the creepiest places.
It is the creepiest part of Waverly, if you ask me.
Yeah, for us. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think that's where it was.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince my group to do more of this. Y'all do a lot of short blast EVPs, like a 5-minute session or a 10-minute session, and then play it back and listen to it live.
Right.
Y'all found out
that works a lot better than, you know, just a running EVP.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, and we do basically, like, not more than a minute 30 sometimes just to get to see where they're talking. We kind of adjust our sensitivity levels to where, okay, you were on 5, I'm on 1. Yours came in clear. All right, I'll go to 2, you go to 4, and, you know, kind of figure it out from there. And that takes, you know, a couple rounds. But then when you get what they're coming in at, you know, and then you're playing it back right then and there, you're saying, okay, I saw the cat. We heard you say I saw the cat. And they'll be like, wow, man, she did. She heard us. I heard my own voice. She's playing it back. That's how I sound like to them. And it's really how you, in my opinion, the best way to do it, because you're validating for the dead. You heard them. If they're in the room with you, you know, or through the portal or whatever, if I were dead and I was interested in talking, I'd come through that portal and come in a little bit clearer or call my friends or whatever, and that's kind of how we envision it being done.
Yeah, well, not only that, I mean, when we go into a haunted location, we're going in looking for the direct communication. You know, we're not going in there to set a recorder down and then listen to what was caught 3 weeks later when we're at home. You know, we're going in to sit down and get comfortable, try to find a place where they are coming through clearly. And, you know, once we find that place, then, you know, then we just look for the direct communication, the direct responses. Because if you don't, the way I look at it is, if you're not investigating that way, then who are you? Yeah, you might be going there for evidence, but you're certainly not going there to help any of the spirits that are there, if we even can. And, you know, I mean, you know, what if one of the spirits say, you know, can you pray for me? Or, you know, if a lot of times we'll say, you know, where can we go in this building to hear you clearer? You know, what if he says 4th floor? You know, but you don't listen back till 3 weeks later when you're at home. I mean, you're not seizing the opportunity. You're not seizing the moment. You're not doing anything. And you're not helping us as investigators, or you're not helping the spirits that may be there and are asking for something. I mean,
well,
you know,
that's not as to say you can't just totally randomly. A lot of times, too, you'll get really good stuff to where, like you guys say, just hanging out or setting up equipment, or you're just kind of talking and being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, too, you'll hear your conversation, then you'll hear other people chirping behind you. It's, I think, too, because you're relaxed, you're comfortable, you're just kind of hanging out, and I think you're more easily approachable in that sense, too.
Yeah, in that one EVP you were talking about where they were talking about the cameras and I'm gone. So maybe if you guys had, you know, if you guys would have done a little burst and listened right back and caught that EVP, maybe you would have moved the cameras. Or maybe you would have done something else, and maybe you would have got even better evidence during the investigation than you did. You know, but that's what I'm saying. By not listening right back... And I get it. You turn your recorder on and you're just kind of setting up and stuff like that. But, you know, who knows what kind of crazy stuff you would have recorded if you did something to where that spirit that says I'm gone didn't go.
Yeah.
You know, because you did something different with the cameras.
What was interesting was our psychic. Go ahead, Jeff.
We have our third host, Martin Bravo, on the line, and he is actually out at a cemetery right now. He's been filming some stuff for Channel 11 there in the DFW area. Martin, are you there?
Yeah, this is Martin. Actually, I have a little bit of bad news. I was out there filming with Channel 11, and this guy came out and said he was going to shoot us all, so we had to leave.
What?
That's a good reason to leave.
Yeah, I guess, you know, in that spot in Dallas, they have, like, a lot of homeless people that go on to wreck those people's homes. So he came out. He was like, I'm going to shoot y'all. Y'all keep moving. So we're like, all right, well we're out. So that Channel 11 guy, he was feeling pretty bad about it. He's like, I'm so sorry, guys. We're like, no, don't worry about it. It happens.
Now, see, it's not the living, the dead you have to worry about. It's the living.
Oh yeah, sure. You know, but we did get some. I did a bunch of bursts EVP. I like to do bursts like you guys had just mentioned. And we had set a Mel Ren down, and I asked. I was like, can you guys touch the Mel Ren and set it off? And I got an EVP right then and there that said, I cannot touch that.
Really?
So, yeah.
Nice.
So it was pretty strange. Like I like to do like burst EVPs just to know what we're kind of dealing with, you know.
But, yeah, kind of test the water.
Yeah. So all in all, it was a fun 30 minutes or a fun hour that we were out there. But you know, sometimes you got to pack up and go.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Someone's starting to shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
that too, because
that definitely frees up more time for me to be able to ask you guys questions and hear the good feedback I've been listening to the last couple of minutes I've been on the phone.
Cool.
Yeah, it's funny too because we drove back last night from Oregon, and we're doing our own events. We do like a lot of local stuff too, but somebody had told us about a mental institution in Nevada, well, actually in California. And so we actually were driving through. We drove like 9 hours last night, and we were driving through it, and I'm like, well, we might as well stop. It's like, 2 a.m, what a perfect time. And we go there, and we didn't know where it was, so of course we go to a 7-Eleven, and we find some kids, and we say, hey, these kids know where it is. You know, so we're like, yo, you know where this place is? And they knew exactly where it was. If you're ever lost, go to a 7-Eleven with teenagers, because they will give you the best directions. And
oh,
so
yeah,
got
yeah.
There, and it was literally all boarded up. You could feel it was haunted. But, you know, this 17-year-old kid, he's like, but you know what, though? Are you going to investigate? He's like, don't go in there. You know why? There's a lot of, homeless people that are in there. And, you know, I think a lot of these locations, that's why it's so good, go there. And the thing of it is half of it's open, the other half isn't. But it's the mental part is, down the road. So it's well worth it just to go in there, give them a heads up. See what kind of hoops you have to jump through to do it. But do it right, just for the safety of yourself, too. You don't want to go in a place and step on a hypodermic needle, and,
Right.
So.
Yeah, Martin, earlier I was talking about those trigger objects you're putting an actual EM pump in.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them about that gun that you did, and you went to, I guess it was Granbury?
Yeah, actually, it was in McKinney, Texas, my hometown. I had two different spots. I made two different guns to use as trigger objects because one was a brothel, and the other one was where supposedly the guy who shot Abraham Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth, he went to Granbury, Texas, and that's where he ended up dying. So I ordered a toy replica gun of John Wilkes Booth's little handgun that he had, and I built a circuit that would put out pretty much a white noise, and then I attached an electromagnet to it, so it wouldn't put it out in sound, but it put it out in EMF. And so I was walking around with this gun, and I was asking a few questions. I was saying, John Wilkes Booth was still there, and it was probably about the middle of the night, probably like 3 or 4 hours in, and sure enough, I got an EVP and this lady, and it's like a full sentence. She goes, "Your gun? No, I didn't like Lincoln. Did you?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like,
that's
wow.
Awesome.
So, you get to a point where you walk away with more questions than answers because this lady obviously knew what the gun looked like, and she knows who Abraham Lincoln is, It was pretty cool.
Well, I think what I'm just getting from listening to you guys talk is they see you on their side, kind of utilizing whatever you can, tweaking it here, tweaking it there. And I kind of look at it, it's like they kind of look at us, and, I hope you guys don't provoke, you don't sound like you do. We don't.
No.
But it's kind of like we're trying to find out answers, And my theory is they see you making all this stuff. They see you doing it. They see you using it. They see you working. And it's almost like there's a board up there that kind of screens you. Okay, are you management quality? Are you not? And, I really do think if they see you working and if you're in it for the right reasons, they'll work with you. And you guys
seem
an awesome team. You seem like you are. So,
yeah, we we decided a long time ago, and that's one reason we're friends with Martin over there in Dallas, because we're about 2 hours apart, but his group and our group, we think the same way as far as approaches, and we've gotten results just being ourselves, you know, just going in and being ourselves and let our personality shine, and it works all the time.
Yeah, well, I think that's great.
Yeah. I know you guys probably get this question quite a bit, but what was your favorite EDP? Like, do you have one, or is it kind of just there's so many you can't even pick through them right now?
Well, I have favorites in different categories, like different scariest and this and that, but I think Thank You, But We've Done That, which is the one that aired on Ghost Adventures, was probably one of the clearest I've ever got, and one of the most shocking, because we really weren't getting all that much during that night. And to get something so clear when you went a few hours without getting anything. The kind I like are really when you're just having a conversation and going back and forth and, you know, just kind of just hanging out with them. Like, people take it for granted now, but, you know, even if you get a yes, they're like, that wasn't that clear. But freaking 10 years ago, if somebody had told you, you're going to have a conversation with the dead and you're going to hear them, I wouldn't give anything for a yes. You know what I mean? I think we're
right
now in the frame of mind to where, you know, people realize that you're actually talking to dead people, you know, and the little people get a little complacent now. But I just like the kind. There's none that come out. I don't know. Is there any favorite that comes to your mind, Mark?
Sorry about that.
One of my favorites that we use in the presentation is we were in a location in the basement, and Debbie was like, oh, is there any way you can walk in front of us or knock on the wall or throw something at us, or, you know, she was asking like a whole bunch of different things of the spirit. And as soon as Debbie stops talking, you hear a spirit say, I ain't doing that shit. Like, you know, in other words, listen, lady, you know.
But, you know, it's funny when they have a personality or they're comical or they're just hanging out with you. I mean, I think that's the most addictive part, especially if you're at home. Like, I don't recommend at all recording at home, but I know some of the happiest times I ever had doing it was in my home, just kind of hanging out, playing cards or, you know, playing it back, and you hear them say, like, heart number 8, and you forget you have the recorder on. They're actually seeing your hand. You know, like crazy stuff.
That's awesome. Now, have you guys ever investigated, like, a really bad accident happened and, I don't know, like, one or two people passed away and a couple of days later you just happen to be driving by? Have you ever investigated, like, a location like that, or?
Well, there was actually a girl that went missing. She was actually on America's Most Wanted. Unfortunately, she was found dead. But before her body was recovered, we actually, did blast in the house. I actually had America's Most Wanted on the TV, had it really low, kind of like what you guys should know, but you know how, like, if you'll have a TV between stations, and that's really actually white noise. If you have it on just a hair, that just gives it enough to work with. But I realized what I was doing. I had the TV on loud enough for the girl I was looking for to hear it. And to say, listen, I'm in Reno. My kids live in Reno. You're missing. This is America's Most Wanted. I'm sure you've seen it before. They're looking for you. And, you know, we got mom. But the mom, later on, unfortunately, after her body was discovered, she was found in a field where there was 3 feet of snow. The snow had melted, and that's how her body was recovered. But we went down to the field where the body was found. Now, mind you, they found her, but they hadn't found her killer. So, and, you know, we travel a lot. My kids are, like, her age. And, you know, we freak it out, too. We're, like, you know. So we did a couple blasts there, and we got a mom, I'm drunk. But that mom was the same tone mom as I got in my living room with America's Most Wanted on.
Then, oh, wow.
You know, we've gotten several other things. But I think what's so interesting is, and I mean beneficial, given the dead closure, the living closure, helping the police, I mean, You don't have to just go to a haunted location. There's missing Jane Does and John Does all over the map, you know, and I think it's just, you know, amazing. A lot of these people, I think, really do need closure. And if you go that length, I mean, you could go anywhere and really have a spirit want to tell its story or, you know, get closure and move on. But, I don't know, is there anything you want to add, Mark?
No, I mean, you know, obviously we all go in locations where, you know, people have been murdered or whether it's suicide or not suicide. So, you know, there's a lot of times all of us go into places sometimes not even knowing that somebody's been killed there or whatever. But, yeah, I think there's been a few different things we've done as far as cold case files and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think there's a lot more ways that you can utilize EVP than it's kind of being utilized right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've even gotten stuff before the person was found saying truck sold. I mean, they would actually give us numbers where, like, you know, the license plate number, and they were low C's and you couldn't make them all out, but they were actually trying to help giving you numbers. So,
wow.
I mean, think about that. Yeah. Just think about, like, what a difference, like, not just getting the EVP, but you're really possibly helping this soul. Helping the soul move on, give us information. And, you know, I don't know. It's powerful. You don't know where this can end if your mind's in the right direction.
Wow. The reason why I asked you guys that question was here recently, me and my wife, we have our own team here in North Texas, and we've gotten into investigating crash sites and, you know, locations like that. And what really started that was a couple months ago, we were headed to South Texas to do an overnight investigation in a location that has the same history as the Alamo. And on our way there, we rolled up on a huge accident. And a semi turned a four-door sedan into a Volkswagen Beetle pretty much. And when we showed up, it had just happened, and the police were already, you know, putting people on the concrete with the sheets around them. So, I turned on my recorder, and as our driver was turning the corner, my recorder was facing the accident, and I actually got an EVP that said everything went as planned. And, I was like, what does that even mean, you know?
Yeah.
What went as planned? Was the accident planned, or are we all part of some predetermined,
that. You know, it's weird because I'm reading Neil Patrick Walsh's Conversations with God right now, and I'm almost to that part to where, you know, he says, you know, your words mean one thing, thought creates everything, but the soul is really what makes the final decision. Once the soul makes the decision, no thought, mind, body cannot change that. Once the soul makes that decision, you know, the rest of it's committed. So, yeah, I don't know. And it goes into really detail, like, it's really odd that some people wait until they're alone to die. And then, you know, their loved ones are like, well, why couldn't you be with me? You know, that's kind of my thoughts on some situations are it just makes it harder for the spirit to leave. Because, you know, people are clinging on, and, you know. So I don't know. But that's really amazing, easy to say.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Hey, let's take a short break so everybody can have a chance to get a drink, smoke a cigarette, go to the bathroom, and whatnot.
Okay.
Well, let's take a little break. In the meantime, we'll come back in about 3 or 4 minutes. And this is Methods of Mayhem with Time Bomb.
Over again it plays. I'm not scared to face the wreckage of my younger ways. Every little thing you do is measured by the damage that it does to you. We'll be right back. turned to something different only yesterday.
To hear you, but
oh, okay.
Mark, you there?
Yeah, we're hearing you okay. Whoever was talking previous to you, we were having a lot of trouble hearing. I couldn't make out hardly anything.
That was Kevin. Yeah, I could. Kevin, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear
you.
Oh, what I was going to say was before we get into y'all's EVPs, I'm going to share one with y'all that we caught at the Allen House in Monticello, Arkansas. Allen House has been on my ghost story, and that's where we got the 216 EVPs. And we put this EVP recorder up in the attic, and about 30 minutes into us investigating this, we caught this up in the attic, and none of us were up there.
I heard that.
Yeah,
or something. I can hear you.
Yeah, what it actually is saying, it says Caddy, which is the name of the mother that lived in the home back in the early 1900s.
And the boy said, "Patty," and she says, "Yeah." And he says, "I have a cookie."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Play it one more time.
Okay.
I totally hear that. And I hear her say, "Yeah," after he says, "Catty." That's awesome.
When we first found that, which was a little over, well, I guess about a year and a half ago now, I found it on my, I was listening to it on my computer. I actually missed it the first time out because it sounded so natural.
Yeah, no, that's cool because we were in Mansfield, and there was one that was clearer than our voices, and it was at the very beginning. And you hear some guy say, "They're bullshitters." But he says it with shitters. You know, like, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying, "Yeah, I know it's dark in here, but Nick and Mark are the only men in the room." And I said, "Play that one more time." And sure enough, it was so clear that you mistake it for a person if I hadn't, really been on my guard. So, I mean, that's another thing, too, about what's good. Well, I think when you roll two recorders at one time, because some of them are so clear, and if you stay within a close enough proximity to one another, we usually sit next to one another and, be a foot or two away. But, if it comes up on one, if it's that loud, it should come up on both.
Right.
And then even use a control recorder in the perfect world. And, that way you'll have a crisp, clean recorder that, you can match it up to. But something that loud should come up on both. So, that's one of the things we do to try to control it. But that's amazing.
Well, we went to a location. This was at a residential home in northeastern Oklahoma. And we had about four or five recorders throughout the house. And I noticed that a lot of our equipment, the batteries were draining. And I asked out loud, I said, "Are you trying to drain our batteries?" And on all of the recorders, there was an audible no.
Yeah, we've gotten that. We've gotten some yes or no questions to where, on one recorder you'll hear a yes, the other it'll be a no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in general, in our experience, sometimes you'll get it. I find it being more frequently, the more we record. But I would say 80% of the time we'll get different EVP on each recorder.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's just our experience, though. Who's to say,
Right.
We'll go through some of the ones that y'all sent. Now, the first one is on recorder number 5, the Manteca clip.
It's next to the coffee maker, Mark.
Okay, yeah. We were doing an investigation. I think I was
Are you eating, Mark?
Yeah, I have a Chester cheese.
Well, we can all hear you. Okay.
All right. So what happened is we were investigating, I think it was a golf course clubhouse or it was something where they have like weddings and stuff like that. So somebody in attendance said, "I just saw somebody walking out on the balcony." So we jumped on a recorder and I think you're going to hear Debbie say something like, "Who was just walking out on the balcony?" And you hear a spirit say, "What balcony?" Almost like they didn't realize maybe back in the day there was no balcony and they were still seeing the place as it was. But that's what came up.
Okay, let's play that one.
"And can you tell us who's walking on the balcony?"
Ooh.
We're going to play it a couple times here. No?
"And can you tell us who's walking on the balcony?"
Oh, now it's messing up on me. Here we go. Try it again.
"And can you tell us who's walking on the balcony?"
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting.
You can clearly hear that.
"Can you tell us who's walking on the balcony?"
Yeah, and it's a direct response. I mean, they're answering Debbie's question, saying, what balcony,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, that was
interesting. This one is on recorder 2, number 16.
Okay, that's from the Stanley. You'll just... there's no question or anything. You'll just hear what to me sounds like a female say, he's jealous.
Okay. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was just like a totally random EVP that I believe there was no question asked before. So it's interesting. Yeah, the Stanley is also pretty live, too. We'll be doing that, I think, I want to say the weekend of the 12th. It's Dave Schrader's last darkness event. So mm-hmm. I want to say there may still be tickets available. And that's an awesome location, the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado.
Yeah,
one of our members, Shonda Kincaid, went to that back in, the, I believe, the spring.
Yeah. One of our members was at an event there, so I was completely jealous of her from getting to go.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool location.
Yeah, the area itself is just gorgeous. But
as long as you don't get snowed in, you're good.
Well, that's the whole point of going. You want to get snowed in.
Well,
mm-hmm.
unless you have a day job, then you don't want to get snowed in.
Well, I do. I totally am a communication technician.
Okay. Right.
That's what I do, self-employed.
She works from home.
The last one you have is from recorder 4. It's number 10.
Okay, yeah. See, that one, again, was from the Stanley. And you're going to hear Debbie say something like, you know, let me know if there's anything, you know, in anything you want, I'll do anything or something to that order. And then Debbie says, well, not anything. And you hear a spirit just laugh.
Huh. All right.
You can read a newspaper to you. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Not whatever, but.
Isn't that amazing? And I was sitting there, and it wasn't even with a group. I had like three of my girlfriends, and we're just sitting in the room before the event. And I like to record a little bit in the room to try to open up the portal. And it was just so mm-hmm. funny when we played it back.
That's cool.
One more time here.
You can read a newspaper to you. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Not whatever, but.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yep. We let's see if I can find it. I think we still have it on here. We have one at the same location as that other one, and this one was the spirit. We got 56 EVPs before we even started investigating. It was all the same male spirit. And it seemed like he wanted to make fun of some of us, especially Jeff.
That wasn't cool.
Yeah. Let me see if I... Where did
that
spirit
was a jackass.
It was funny to us.
I'm sure it was. Jerk?
Let's go here. just had it queued up. Okay, there it is. All right. Well, my computer is just not wanting to. Okay. Try this again here. Well. There to go. Gotta love live radio sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there it is. All right. You'll hear a couple of us talking, and I think I'm talking to my dad because he's on our team, too, and he's at home base, and I'm saying something to him, and he says, oh, and then the spirit chimes in.
Yeah. You got 30 there. Oh.
All right, one more time.
Okay.
30 there.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, I hear the word shit.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's pretty clear.
It's funny, we even, like, for the PowerPoint, made up, like, an X-rated slide because we've had them call us everything, you know, and it's like, this has got to go somewhere. We can't waste all this, you know. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. One of my good friends, Jody Parks, she did an event down in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm trying to get to that one because I want y'all to hear this because I've worked with a ghost box for over 2 years now, and I have never heard a ghost box do what it did on this investigation. It was a public event, so there's a lot of people there, and several paranormal teams in this basement, and most of them are girls, but there's a few guys there. So Jody, and she's just running the simple the hack shack that you buy at Radio Shack. You just go in and make them one pin and make it scan. So she didn't spend a lot of money on this thing, and this is what this thing did.
Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh! Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up!
Oh my god!
Yeah, we know.
We totally heard it.
And it's funny because somebody else, we did another radio show a while back, and somebody else had told us about that.
Yeah.
Shack hack. I can't remember which radio show it was.
No, that's awesome. And you know, what are the chances of that coming through, even if it is, you know, sound like a country station before that. So that's awesome.
And my voice had like a British accent, and you can clearly hear that the radio stopped scanning when this voice came through.
Uh-huh, yep. Yeah, we had one, I think, from Preston Castle, and it was really worth through the Shack Hack, it was the Shack Hack. And we said, you know, is there anything we can do for you or bring you? And they say, I can't even read the paper. And, you know, it's kind of, I even called Preston Castle, and I said, listen, if you want good results, leave a paper, read the newspaper to them. You know, like, Mark has a good point, like, maybe that was the favorite thing they had to do, is read the paper. And now they can't do it anymore. So the Shack Hack is really, it's one of those things, too. The more you use it, the better you get with it.
Yeah. And our group has the SB7, which is the same one that, you know, is Zach, Nick, and Aaron, they use on their investigation.
Yeah, we use that, too.
The SB7, we've been having a lot of just crazy stuff that goes on that thing. And, you know, I got some friends in the field that they're more scientifically based, and you know, they have their theories on the ghost box and say, well, what if you're asking a question and you know the answer, how do you know that your thought is not being captured up on the frequency, you imprinting it on this scan? So
right.
I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take the human element out of the situation and get results. So we were at a location in we just randomly, and this wasn't planned. It was just something we did at the spur of the moment. Me and Mike were standing there, and we're like, okay, we're going to get a coin, and we're going to toss it up in the air, and we want you to call it in the air. So he grabbed the coin out of his pocket. We didn't look at it or anything because obviously it was dark. He flipped it up, caught it, and slapped it on his hand and held it. He said, all right, tell me if it's heads or tails. And they said, tails. And so then we opened it up, and I put the flashlight on it, and it was tails. And then we went a step further, and we put the coin down on the table without really looking at or examining the coin. And we said, well, tell us the date that's on this coin. And they told us it was 1984. So then we went over to the table and looked at the coin, and I was filming all this. And it was 1984 on that coin.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
we didn't know the answers to the questions we were asking, and we still got results. So
we did a similar thing like that, but it wasn't with the ghost box. It was actually with EVP, but it was in the Wolf Manor in Clovis, California, and we had a deck of cards. And two out of three times, I would go to flip a card over, and I would ask them what card it was. And I think they said Jack, and I flipped over Jack.
Yep.
And I think the next time it was a 10, I flipped over a 10. And I think they were off another time. You know, no, maybe they were lying or something.
No, I don't think they answered the third time.
Well, the thing of it is, though, two out of three times for that to be correct, I mean, you know, that's... There are no, to me, that's paranormal, regardless if they're picking your brain and coming out with the right thing. To me, it's still paranormal, but whatever, you know, way they generate it, you know, it's just, like you say, the more you think you know, the more you, little you know you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've even, we tried to do this at Old South, but with what was going on there and some of the activity, we never got to do some of it. You know, you always have these plans of, oh, I'm going to do this, do that when we get there. And, you know, you forget about them and you do something else. But one thing that we want to try doing sometimes is have the team write questions on, say, like a poster board and then shuffle them up and then hand you one where you're not looking at the question. You have the question held out in front of you, so all you see is the blank side of it. And with your EVP recorder, just walk around holding that question up and see if you get an answer on your EVP recorder.
That's interesting. So you guys got a lot of good ways of thinking, ways of doing it.
It gets kind of redundant when you do the same old thing, you know, and whatnot. And in my team, we always come up with new concepts because it rejuvenates us. It gives us something, you know, more exciting when we go to a location instead of doing the same old regular EVP session and whatnot.
Yeah, and yep. I think it's more, you know, enjoyable for the dad as well. You mm-hmm. know, if everybody goes in there, what's your name? How old are you? When did you die? You know, and I noticed with Mark and I, you know, a lot of the times we'll do all the talking and we'll change the groups around us. But then, you know, if we get a dry spell, we just kind of go around and say, well, why doesn't everybody introduce themselves? And then you get the one person that finally cracks and starts talking, then they'll start talking, you know. And it's even, my daughter hates me for this, but I'll be like, you know, Alyssa, do me a favor, just ask one question. She'll be like, no. I'll be like, please, just ask a question. And sure enough, I'll get my mother to do it too. And sure enough, though, as soon as like a different person asks the question, it's not boring anymore, and mm-hmm. they'll answer, you know. My daughter and mother really hate me, but you know, other than that, they do open up the portal.
Right.
It's like they read different energies. They can read our energy. And when you introduce a different energy than what you had before, then all of a sudden they're like, this is a new energy. I want to talk to them.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
Like at least feel them out or give them a chance.
Or maybe they just don't jive with, you know, my energy or Debbie's energy or whatever. And then when you bring somebody in, that's why when we do events and when we're kind of doing EVP session with a bunch of people, like Debbie said, we'll just tell people, you know, we encourage you guys to ask questions because, you know, sometimes either they get bored of listening to me and Debbie or whatever, but it really does help when other people in attendance start asking questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And,
bless you, Debbie.
What really not startles me, but mind boggles me sometimes is, you know, location we were at, one of the team members, we were just talking to the client and walking through their home, and she asked how old a home is, and we got an EVP of 105. Well, they had to know the year because they were correct. They had to know what year we were in order to say it was 105 years old.
Huh.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, that kind of boggles the mind when they know what year it is right now. They know, you know,
it's interesting, too, because I always kind of feel like, they have no conception of time. At least that's what I go with, for lack of anything better. and I'll go to my calendar and I'll be like, well, you know, I have to, you know, be here on this weekend, so I'm not going to be here, whatever, but I'll be here Thursday, and I'll go up to the calendar, and I'll X out the days as they go, and I'll be like, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, it'll be dark, it'll be light, and I'll try to explain, you know, what's going on, and I'll put in a circle on the day I'm going to talk to them, and, you know, even if they don't know what day, time, or whatever, at least they see me X in the days, they kind of get a jive of when the sun goes up and down, and then they know, okay, well, the circle's on the 18th, so she's going to talk on the 18th. And, you know, try to, I don't know, I guess we try to help them as best we can to, you know, come through and be there when we're going to turn on the recorder.
Right. Now, and a lot of people, I've told this a lot at some of the events that we've been at, and some of the people that are in our group from the public that ask us questions, and, you know, the question's already always been asked, you know, do you get more activity at night or during the day? And my result, my response to that is it doesn't matter because we've got EVPs in broad daylight, you know. It's just a matter mm-hmm. of communication and opening that door to talk to them. And
I believe that, too. And I believe what your intention is plays a lot in it, too. I mean, as far as seeing stuff, I can tell you, I've seen when I'm most comfortable, I think, too, has a lot to do with it, but just doing housework. I will tell you, more times than not, even when I was a child, during the day, I would see full-blown stuff. And, you know, at night when it's scarier and stuff like that, I mean, I've had things happen. But I think full-blown apparitions during the day or before the sun sets.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
Yeah, one of the things that that we deal with a lot, and it's not something that we enjoy doing as far as the type of spirits that we deal with, but it's what we get called to do. It's, you know, these clients call us and we go to their homes and it ends up being something really dark. And 9 times out of 10, these folks, of course, it takes a couple times of talking to them for them to really trust us and divulge all the information, because
yeah.
I try to tell them in order to find out why this dark, inhuman, demonic force is it might be in their home, is I got to know the source. There's got to be a source. You know, they don't
yep.
just pop. And 9 times out of 10, these folks all of a sudden divulge, oh, yeah, we played with a Ouija board. Now, what's y'all's thoughts on the Ouija board?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's so much the Ouija board itself or the mind block with it. I know myself. I will never forget the movie The Exorcist. I will always look at a Ouija board like, you know, Reagan's head spinning, and I don't think I can change that microchip in my head. And I think for me to do it would just open up that creepy portal, and I'd put myself and everybody else in danger. Now,
mm-hmm.
I've seen it done. I've watched people do it. I've seen it zip off the board onto the, you know, tablecloth. You know, I totally believe it works, but I'm more comfortable turning on a recorder. I don't see that much difference because we're both initiating communication, but I don't look at the recorder and say, ooh, I'm going to get possessed, you know? And I think that's
right.
within me, and I think thought creates everything. And, you know, I'm not comfortable with it. That's not to say, you know, people I probably am good friends with probably do it totally safely. But I don't know enough about it, and I respect it. And, you know, I collect them. I have some from the 40s I have in my office. But I think I used it once when I was a kid. I have my original Ouija board. But I don't know. With my mindset, I don't feel comfortable using it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't think it's much different than holding up a recorder and
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, who wants to talk to us? Because you're still opening up a door.
Right.
You know, I think that's the important thing to realize is you're still opening up a door, you know, so in my opinion, there's not really a whole bunch of a difference, because with the recorder, you don't know who you're actually talking to.
Right.
And with a Ouija board, it's the same thing. I mean, you might think you know who you're talking to, but, you know, chances are you're wrong, because we know that they're tricksters. You know,
yeah.
if they can get along with, if they can get away with telling you that they're one thing, because they know that when you say you're that one thing, that you're going to continue to talk to them, whether they're coming off as a child or whatever, then they'll do that.
But my thing with the Ouija board is, too, I've heard too many stories from too many people of really, you know, icky stuff coming in through the board, starting out really good, really positive, and then changing, and, you know, so whether or not it's just before recorders, all we had was the Ouija board, so that's where the icky stories evolved, or, you know, my mindset on it, you know, I don't know, but because we look at it as an icky, scary thing, does that mean that on the other side, icky, scary things look at it like, yo, this is our place, this is what they expect when they use it, so this is an easier door for us to open? You know,
right.
It's just something to think about.
My problem with the Ouija board comes from the fact that I don't know. Well, let me see if I can explain it. If Kevin and I were sitting down with a Ouija board and we got the planchette and we're moving it and stuff, I can't prove that Kevin is not the one moving it.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to sit down by yourself, though, you could.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean?
I could do that.
But, yeah, but that's
no fun. No. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, just because I've heard people talk and say, no, you have to try it. Just try it. Just. And I've seen these girls literally putting one finger on it very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was the same experience. I didn't experience it. I watched it. But I could totally see, you know, there was hardly any pressure on this thing. And it was literally just zipping right off the board onto the tablecloth. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I'll view it. I didn't even want to record with it. I was that uncomfortable.
Well,
yeah,
used and saw the there were two girls that were using it, and they were on the floor, and I got down on the floor, you know, at eye level with the board, and I saw both of the girls' hands come off of the planchette, and the damn thing was still moving.
Yeah, now,
I look at it from a scientific perspective that I just couldn't be able to prove that the other person wasn't maneuvering it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think, you know, when you mention that, you're never going to know.
No.
You know, so if that's why
I don't even use them.
Right. And we don't use them either, but for different reasons.
Well, see, my thing, too, it just isn't from a scientific point of view. Like, I know it's real. I don't have to prove it to myself, mm-hmm. you know, and it's in my, I guess, where we communicate in the house. But I actually have this round table. And it's from, you know, it's wooden. They say that's a conduit, and I like it for a sitting table to try to communicate. But I actually took a shot glass, put a piece of chalk inside it, like crazy glued it, and then put the shot glass upside down. And I painted the top of the table with this, like, Martha Stewart, like, chalkboard. So my thought was, if I invent it, it's my idea, and it's my way of doing it, so it's safe. I don't know, you know, where that came from, but... You know, I haven't tried it yet, but I do want to do that. At least, you know, maybe have Mark and I put our fingertips on the shot glass and see if it actually spells something.
Right. Now, my take on the whole thing that I've seen and delving with a lot of these cases, the Ouija board to me, you know, from an energy standpoint, you know, it's not electronic. It's none of that. So when you put your hands on that board, on that planchette, and you're putting your energy on that. So basically, you're opening yourself up energy-wise. And, of course, like I told all these clients was, you know, you might be trying to talk to your deceased grandmother, but with any open door, with these demonic forces that are out there and are around us all the time, that... What is to say that you're talking to it instead of your grandmother? Because it's going to know everything about your grandmother, you know, and if you leave the door open, even if you don't, because some people are like, well, I used it and nothing happened. Well, did you close the door? No,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to do that. And I said, well, think about it. It's just like if you leave your front door of your house open, eventually
mm-hmm.
somebody's going to walk by and poke their head in.
Mark, where's the dog?
Dog's right here. If you hear that squeaking, he's chewing on his toy.
Oh, okay. We just got a puppy, and I heard a dog crying. So we haven't had him 24 hours. Sorry to interrupt you. I heard him.
Oh,
yeah,
you're fine.
He's biting on his toy,
no,
so that's the squeak.
Right. But, you know, to add to what you're saying, too, I think there's a lot of relevance to that because I asked, you know, religious demonologist Adam Bly the same kind of on the same grounds, like what's the difference between a Ouija board and a recorder, and he mentioned the same thing. You know, when you're putting your hand on it, you're allowing the planchet to enter your body or the energy to enter your body. And I think that's a really significant point. Not that a recorder isn't doing the same thing in a sense, but, you know.
Right. And what is to say that, I talked to others that, you know, like they said, and this is a good point, too, from the aspect of our technology now, just like you said, people use Ouija boards a long time before we had recorders and whatnot. So what is to say in another 10, 15 years, an EVP recorder could be something that like, oh, yeah, you know, this is the number one thing they communicate with. I'm going to latch on to it. I mean, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no telling, you know, later, you know, years to come that these other instruments that we use could become like a Ouija board. But I do believe that with the recorder, you're not really, you have your energy on it, but you're not like opening yourself up because it's an electronic device. You know, you're letting it do the work. You can turn it on and set it down and not have your energy attached to it. But, you know, I have seen people get attachments from using dowsing rods. But in the case of dowsing rods, you're using your energy as well.
Right. But if you think about it, I mean, okay, even if it's a piece of electronics as opposed to the Ouija board, you're still opening up that same line of communication. So you're still opening up the same thing that you're opening up. No matter if you're holding a fork, you know, as soon as you initiate the communication, you're opening up to that same doorway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't think, you know, look, anybody that does this is taking a risk. And I think that's the important thing that people need to know, is if you're going to do this, you know, this is what kind of comes with the good EVP or the good, you know, REM pod action or whatever. There's some scary stuff that comes along with this for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the main thing that we are trying to let people know about is, you know, especially people that are starting out, you know, this is not, you know, just like, you know, when you're 12 years old and you go to the, you know, baseball field and you play baseball for a while and then you go home for dinner. You know, this is something that, you know, it could be potentially more dangerous. So as long as you know that, then you go in with that intention and you can work on some sort of protection and stuff like that. But, I mean, there are drawbacks to what we do here. Debbie and I know that firsthand, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, and I've been a fan of Ghost Adventures ever since it started, and I've even noticed with Zach, Nick, and Aaron throughout the years after some of their bad experiences at some of these locations and what it's done in their personal lives, it's kind of humbled them to the point that, you know, they take it more serious when it comes to how much provoking they do and how far they go now than what did in the beginning.
Yeah. Debbie and I, we talked to them a lot about the provoking thing. And, you know, everybody's got their own thing. And, but you're right. But over the years, you can see, if you watch the show, you can see how they have matured as investigators.
Yeah, like they take what they know, and they utilize that. And the next show, that's gone. They're up to the next thing. And I've never seen people that are like human sponges as far as knowledge and getting, you know, experts in the field, taking their knowledge, moving it on, and it just like Lego blocks. Like they're not even who we knew like 5 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
It's just they're incredible people.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, if it was somebody that was just in it for the fame, they might say, hey, you know, we know this provoking works, so we're just going to continue on with it. You know, if there was someone that didn't really care. But like I said, over the years, you can see how they have changed as investigators.
They've evolved with the field.
They realize that, you know.
But I think, you know, people that are just in it for the first few minutes, I don't think any of the successful shows out there would have lasted that long if they were just in it for the wrong reasons. You know, I think most of the people out there that you see that are, you know, really have successful shows are really decent people and really, you know, care. Barry Fitzgerald, you know, I don't know him really well, but he just seems like what a really passionate person in the field. And I don't know, just only the strong survive, I guess. And, you know, you have to be in it for the right reasons.
Yeah, and just like this last episode that aired this last Friday, they went to a location in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was the owners were under demonic oppression, and throughout the show, before they, you know, Zach said, instead of us investigating, let's get a priest in here and do a house cleansing and try to help you guys. You know, if that would have been 5 years ago, they'd have said, oh, there's something bad in here. Well, we're going to go right at it. They didn't do that this time.
Because unfortunately, we have a lot of them on TiVo and we're backed up, but that's really good to hear that. You know, because I know they suffer too, you know. I mean, they're in a war zone, like, you know, every week. They're bringing it back home, bringing it back to their house, bringing it back to their family. And, you know, I think, you know, they learn every time they do this too. And can't speak for them, but I can speak for us, and I know we do. And we're not even nearly as deep as they are.
Yeah, and I know that on that episode, they were only 15 minutes from Bobby Mackey. So Zach decided to drive over there, and they get to outside of Bobby Mackey's because I can't even remember the gentleman's name that used to work there that they had the video of him being possessed.
We met him. I don't remember the name either. Yeah.
He had passed away. Well, they have a memorial inside of Bobby Mackey's. So Zach was going to go in and visit the memorial. Well, Nick's like, I ain't going in there, dude. And then Zach's like, okay, well, I ain't going in there either. So they sent their sound guy, and so he filmed it. But they wouldn't even – then Zach moved the car across the street. They didn't even want to be on the same side of the street with Bobby Mackey's because it's affected them so much.
Oh, yeah, no, and we were actually investigated it. That one didn't air, but we did an event with them. And I will tell you, that is one – I take a little memento from every place. That is one place I would not take a memento from. There was more – you know, you have to consider, too, ritual was performed there. A lady was beheaded there. It is one of the two places where there's rivers that flow differently than any other river in the country. Aaron blames his divorce on Bobby Mackey's. You know, there's a lot – I will tell you seriously, when you said Cincinnati, I got my heart fell because I'm like, did they even go back near there? You know, and I would never go back there. I hate to say that, never say never, but I would never go back there, nor do I ever want to ever go on Indian burial ground. Not that I ever knowingly did, but I think that there was one instance where I wasn't aware of it. There's some things you just need to respect, you know, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
Even cemeteries. And, you know, if there's a place where somebody should rest in peace, you know, they're buried, their plot's there, I think that's one place where we should just leave them alone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have gone to cemeteries in the past, but, yeah, it's not one of our favorite places to do. Not to say you don't get good EVP, but it's just kind of...
Yeah, we got an EVP once of a spirit telling Kevin to get off their grave.
We had one years ago. There was one where we were in New Hampshire, and there was a tree that knocked over a fence that landed on a tombstone. And so Mark says, did this bother you when this tree hit or something like that? And you hear this guy, and he sounds like Mr. Peebles, you know, and he goes, yes, it did. I know. And it was like, really, you know? But...
Now, I said that about Kevin. It made it sound like he was being disrespectful. Kevin was not being disrespectful to that spirit. He was just experimenting with some stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
I totally understand.
It's not like we've never been to a cemetery. Like, we would do that same thing, too. But, you know, it's not one of my, you know, fortes. Like, we would never schedule one at our event. If we're at an event we're called for, you know, you do what you got to do, but...
Well, I also said that because Kevin makes the claim sometimes that I don't ever say anything nice about it. So there we go.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you go. So you got to say one nice thing a show.
Birds with one stone. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that cemetery there, though, we're still trying to figure out the process of how to close. There's a portal that's been opened out there, and there's a demonic force that roams that cemetery. We found out through the history that an occult was practicing devil worshiping out there, and they stopped meeting or whatever. So they opened this portal, and there's something really nasty and evil out there. And my thing is, like you know, this is where people are laid to rest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything evil tormenting the other spirits that are there or whatnot. So, you know, that's one place that we're still trying to figure out how to close that, get that thing out of there so that these people can be at rest, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right.
I agree.
And then playing devil's advocate, I mean, if there's something known to be there that's that bad, I mean, do you feel you're equipped to handle what's out there? I mean, if Debbie and I absolutely know that whatever's here is so dark that, you know, whatever, I mean, I can tell you myself, I'm not going, because I already know that I don't have the knowledge to handle a situation like that. So I'm not going to sit and put my, knowingly, now, a lot of times you go into a place and you don't really know, but that's our dog. But yeah, I mean, as far as places where we know, I won't go. I'll just say, you know what, I know I can't handle this. I'll bring somebody else in that does have the knowledge.
Or that has more knowledge than we do, you know.
Because you don't want to get in over your head. Sometimes you do.
No.
You know?
Every time we deal with these things, we only know so much, right? And so a lot of people in this field, demonologists and whatnot, so we always bring other people in. Because there ain't no way I'm going to be able to take care of this thing. That's why I said we're still trying to figure it out, because we're talking several different people that possibly could do what needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get that, because, like I said before, I mean, firsthand, Debbie and I know that some things, once something enters your home or you bring something in, it is really, really not an easy task of getting it out.
No, it's a long process. We had a residential that we were on for over a year, and it was tormenting a 14-year-old boy. And we brought in a demonologist, and he got rid of it, and he told them, look, you got to change your living environment. You got to keep positive energy in here, and you got to follow these simple rules, or this thing's going to come back. And they didn't follow the rules, and about 4 days later, it was back in the home.
Yeah. That's the cat.
Yeah, that's the cat. Yeah, I think, and that's truth. You do have to, you know, some families or households, you know, have to totally change, you know, if there's bad energy in the place to begin with, you know, and then something comes in, okay, whatever that negative thing is came in because it's feeding off of that bad energy that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was good energy, then this negative force wouldn't be there, because he's there looking for that negative energy. So you're kind of, you're not putting a plate of food out for the spirit, but you're giving him what he wants in the bad energy, whether it's arguing all the time or whatever. That's how he's eating. That's why he's there.
Well, I think too, and don't quote me, but I think in the Catholic religion, I think that there has to be some kind of a sin committed or something for that spirit to enter. And, you know, that's, as you say, that portal was opened. That portal needs to be closed, you know?
Yep.
So I think, you know, that's one thing too, which is very, very hard to do, but people calling people in on investigations, if they want help, they need to be totally upfront, because you need to know what kind of snake you're dealing with in order to give them the antivenom. You know what I mean?
Right.
In a sense.
Well, we are down to just a couple minutes left. Is there anything specific you guys like to mention?
Yeah, I think Debbie already mentioned it. We're doing Darkness Radio event at the Stanley. I think it's November, the weekend of November 12th, I want to say.
It's the very last Darkness Radio event with
right.
Dave Schrader.
Yeah.
We're also doing Armagosa with Billy Tully.
Oh, that's right.
This weekend.
Yeah, this Friday.
Outside Death Valley. It's right outside Las Vegas. Billy
Ooh.
Tully will be there. Diana Tully. And we are they're having a meet and greet, and it's so close to Vegas, you just cannot tell who might show up. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do it the first night. They're going to do a whole bonfire thing and just have
it's
a good time.
It's
going to
be like a
first night.
Some kind of paranormal hoedown in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the Black Rock Burning Man thing, but Billy Tully style. So we're looking forward to kind of joking. He's giving me a look like I'm saying stupid stuff, but I'm not.
Yeah. and then also, Debbie and I have started our own conferences. They're called Con Cons.
I thought of that.
Right. That was Debbie. It was all Debbie.
It was.
And we're getting ready to announce Con Con 6, and it's going to be probably in April, and it's going to be at Pennhurst. It's just outside of Philly. But we've been there once before, and the activity was
crazy.
Crazy.
And
so
we're also doing our own local stuff too. And our website is www.spirits-speak.com. And we're getting ready to do some local stuff here around Reno, Nevada. So yeah, we want to try to at least keep an event a month going. You know, just keep us tuned in. But we found some really cool locations just locally too.
Yeah, and once we get the banners up, they'll be posted on Facebook, on Twitter, on our homepage of our website that Debbie just mentioned, spirits-speak.com. So if anybody's interested, you know, just keep an eye out. And like I said, they're called ConCons. So, and it's cool because we limit them at like 20 people. So it's not like a million people being herded through. And everybody there kind of gets all of our attention, and it's a nice small group, which you know, the less people usually, the more
results.
Activity you get. So
yeah.
I mean, we would rather add an extra day than add more than 25 people a night.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Well, thank you two for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I've been a fan of y'all for a long time and enjoyed what y'all bring to the field.
Well, thank you guys for having us.
Thanks.
And have an amazing Halloween, because we're almost up upon it.
I know.
Right?
We
My
all
favorite
have...
holiday.
We all have a good night, and thanks so much for coming on.
You
all
too.
Right, well, thank you for having us.
Thanks. Time
keep
to walk.
Keep up the amazing work.
Yeah, time to walk the dog.
Yeah, there you go. All right, good night.
All right, happy Halloween, guys.
All right, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we are down to just a minute or two of recording time here in the archives. So on that note, we are going to bid everybody a fond farewell.
And next week, our guest is Rachel Sterling. We're doing a little bit different. She's got some kind of, you know, she lived in a haunted house growing up. She's originally from Corpus Christi. She's been in the Wedding Crashers. She's been in a couple episodes of True Blood, been in a couple episodes of House. So she's an actress in Hollywood. She's currently working on a film. And she also was one of the original members of the Pussycat Dolls and was in Playboy. So,
Yeah,
Jeff and I get to talk to her about a lot of things because that's one of the things that with us being paranormal investigators, but we're also actors, so talking to somebody that has a little bit of both, you know, is going to be something cool to talk about movies and the paranormal as well, but and the fact that she's a Playboy Playmate, oh yeah, only here on our radio show can you get that.
Awesome.
So yeah,
everybody good night, everybody.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com. facebook.com/unknownradionetwork.